This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A few years ago, when I was a young doctor working in Australia, I had a patient, very old patient, about 86 years old, who had multiple diseases. Every single time we used to fix him up with Allah's permission, every single time we made him better with Allah's permission, he would go back home, and then a few days later he would come back with another complication. At one time it was his heart, another time it was his legs, another time it was something else that was wrong with him. And every single time he came back, he would stay in hospital for a few days only to go home thereafter. So I used to go to this patient and say, why don't you go to a nursing home? Why don't I just send you to a nursing home where the nurses can look after you better and you don't have to look after yourself, and then unfortunately fall over when you are dizzy and then come back again with something broken next time. In this way, you're going to end up dying on your own. So this man said, why? I like you guys. So he used to love to come to hospital every time. So I told him, you know what? Death isn't so bad. Don't be afraid of death. Death isn't so bad. Perhaps the pain that you're going through may actually be easier than the death that is about to come. So the patient told me, he told me, I don't want to die. I asked him why. He said, because there is nothing after this life. He said, and he had no doubt in his mind, there's nothing else after this life. If I die, then what remains from the sweetness of this life, I will have lost. And unfortunately, a few days later, the man did die. And I know of a surety, and I know you know of a surety, that by Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only taken him from this life to another one. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us again and again in the Quran that he will of a surety gather us together, and by Allah there is another life after this. But the question is why? The question is, why is it that we don't think about this life hereafter? Why is it that we are so engrossed in this dunya that we have forgotten by Allah there is another life after this? Because this dunya is called dunya, it comes from the word dana, to come close to you. And the akhirah is called akhirah because it comes from the word akhir, which means in the hereafter, next, the next station. So because dunya is dana, comes close to you, it is the natural aspect of human beings, our minds, for us to be engrossed in what we are in. Just like today, if you are in a problem, or something is on your mind, you tend to think that is all this life is all about. And then you tend to forget about tomorrow, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a tomorrow. You tend to forget about that. You're more engrossed in the present and you forget about the future. And it is for this reason, my brothers and sisters in Islam, why by Allah we forget about the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us weak. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us miserly. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَطُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us argumentative. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. All of these attributes of arguing, miserly, being unattentive, being weak, being frail. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا, being in haste. All of these things cause us to not remember the hereafter. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there is another big issue. And that is, by Allah, we think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Every single human being sitting in this audience thinks Allah loves him. Every single human being sitting in this audience, by Allah, thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. The evidence and the proof that you have for Allah loving you is because Allah has given you a good health. Allah has given you wealth. Allah has given you money. Allah has given you children. Allah has given you family. This is an evidence in your mind that Allah loves you. But Allah, this is the great deception of this dunya. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they have a guarantee that Allah is not mocking them? No one has a guarantee Allah is not mocking them except those people that have lost all good. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah gives wealth and money to Muslims and non-Muslims. Allah gives money and wealth and good health and children to those He loves and those that He does not love. Allah made Fir'aun the king of this dunya. Allah made Fir'aun the king, one of the kings of this dunya. gave him wealth, gave him children, gave him so much by Allah. How many wives did he have? How much money did he have? How much kingdom and power did he have? But by Allah, this was never a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved him. This was never a sign. Take the example of this man. In Surah Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Allah gave him a huge garden. Allah gave him such a beautiful garden that used to give atat ukulaha marratay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to give that garden its harvest twice in a year instead of once. And the garden was so beautiful. In between the garden was a major river. Can you imagine a beautiful garden? In between it is a beautiful river, and the garden surrounded by date palm trees in order to ward it from all the harm. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, this man used to enter into his garden. فَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. And he wronged himself and he said, مَا ظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِي أَبَدًا. I don't think this will ever go away. I don't think Allah will ever give me poverty. I don't think I'll ever be poor. I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. مَا ظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِي أَبَدًا وَمَا ظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً. And I don't think the last hour will come. And even if it was to come and I were to die, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. That when I go back to Allah, I will find better than it. This is what we all think, right? This is what every one of us sitting here thinks. That by Allah, Allah loves us, so He gave us wealth and money. And when we go back to Allah, don't worry. Allah's going to give you a better Jannah. Allah's going to give you women in paradise. Allah's going to give you little children walking around, servants serving you, whatever you want. Allah is going to give you whatever your heart's desire. Is this what we think? This is what Allah quotes this man saying by Allah. So what happens? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down a lightning from the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Kahf tells us that in the tafsir of this verse, a lightning came down from the sky and the whole garden burnt up. فَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ. So he entered into his. فَجَعَلَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. He entered into his garden. And when he saw that every single thing had burnt up and his garden was destroyed, he entered into the garden. He put his hands into the sand and let the sand go through his hands. And as it went through his hands, and he said, Ya laytani, woe to me. How I wish I had not made any shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, your wealth, your health, your children, your family is not an evidence Allah loves you. Your wealth, your health, and your good life in this dunya is not an evidence Allah loves you. By Allah, this could be the makr of Allah. This could be the mockery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second reason, my brothers and sisters in Islam, why we don't think about the life hereafter is because every one of us thinks the process of death is very easy. Every one of us thinks that the process of dying and death is very simple, very easy, and very straightforward. You just feel bad one day, and then suddenly the angel of death comes and says, please come out, and you come out just like honey come out of a vessel. Is this what we think life and death is? Is this what we think death is? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam swore upon Allah, and he said, verily death has its trials, verily death has its tribulations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was passing away, he was putting his hands into a bucket and wiping his forehead, then putting his hands again into the bucket, wiping his forehead. La ilaha illallah. He used to say, oh Allah, there is no God but you. A'inni ala sakaratil maut. Oh Allah, help me from the trials of death. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who at the moment of his death was tested by Allah azza wa jal. If this is what was happening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do we think by Allah we will have a good death? My brothers and sisters in Islam, ever since I have been a medical doctor, I have never seen a single patient of mine have a good death. I have never seen a single patient have a beautiful, what we would describe as a beautiful death. Every single patient of mine, every single patient by Allah that I have seen, both as a junior doctor and as a senior doctor, I've seen them have difficult deaths by Allah. We had to calm them with medicine. We had to give them hyoscine bromide to stop the gurgling of their mouth. We had to give them morphine upon morphine because of the pain of their death by Allah. We had to sedate them. We had to calm them by Allah. And sometimes, Allahul Musta'an, we had to let them die. We had to let them die simply because there's nothing else we could do for these people. they were just too sick and they were all passing away. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there is nothing called an easy death. There is nothing called a simple death. There is nothing called a painless death by Allah unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets you die in His path in jihad. There is nothing called a painful death, painless death, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Indeed, life and death has its difficulty. Indeed, death and dying has its problems and its difficulties, brothers and sisters in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us and tells us. And when the soul has reached the throat, and indeed we are closer to it than anyone else, or my angels are closer to it than anything else, as a tafsir of this verse mentions. And indeed, if you are not from those people that are obliged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to this religion, and to pray and to fast, and to listen to this prophet that came to you, tarji'unaha, return the soul back into its body, in kuntum sadiqeen. If indeed you are truthful, if indeed my brothers and sisters we are truthful, let's return it back by Allah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, how many times have I stood next to my patients when suddenly the alarm would go off? Suddenly the alarm would go off. And by Allah, everyone would start screaming, the patient's dying. By Allah, how many times? I am an emergency doctor. I happen to be at the point of call of the most important emergencies that happen in the hospital. This is my specialty. This is what I do. And that is why I happen to be at the time of death at every single patient, trying to do my best to save that life. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I am telling you, by Allah, it is a distressing situation. By Allah, death is a distressing situation. By Allah, death is difficult. By Allah, do not ever think you're going to have an easy death. By Allah, Allah only gives an easy death to those who He wills. My brothers and sisters in Islam, do not fool yourselves. The last reason, my brothers and sisters, why we think by Allah, the hereafter, why we don't think about the hereafter, my brothers and sisters, is because we have forgotten death itself. We have forgotten that every single one of us will actually die. We have actually forgotten by Allah that the angel of death is waiting for every single one of us, my friends. We actually think we will live tomorrow. We actually don't think we are going to die tomorrow. And that is why we lead our life by Allah as if we are going to live forever. My brothers and sisters in Islam, do not fool yourselves. The truth of the matter is, by Allah, our lives are extremely limited. By Allah, the pious predecessors of Islam, it used to say about Fudayl ibn Iyad, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that even if Fudayl ibn Iyad knew that death is tomorrow, he could not increase in any ibadah. He could not increase in doing anything more. Because by Allah, he used to lead every single moment of his life as if this moment was his last. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the authentic hadith, verily, if you have woken up in the morning, don't wait and think that you're going to live till the afternoon. And if you wake up in the afternoon, don't ever think you're going to live till the morning. My brothers and sisters in Islam, do not fool yourselves and do not listen to what the shaitan says, thinking by Allah that this life is going to continue forever. My brothers and sisters in Islam, if this is true, that we are going to lead on to a new life, a life that is different from this life, that we are going to transfer from this dunya that is fleeting, and we're going to go to the akhirah, the simple question that we must ask ourselves is, what sort of akhirah are we building, brothers and sisters? What sort of akhirah are we building? I want to tell you about a statement related by Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali in his Khushu' fi Salah, where one of the pious predecessors by the name of Ibrahim ibn Adham was asked a question. Ya Ibrahim, why is it that we hate talking about the akhirah and we love our death? Why do we hate talking about death and we love talking about this dunya and what we have done in this dunya? So he said in the beautiful statement, he said, لِأَنَّكُمْ عَمَّرْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ وَخَرَّبْتُمْ أُخْرَاكُمْ. Because you have fortified this life, you have built this dunya, but you have terribly destroyed. You've completely annihilated the hereafter for yourself. And then he continued and he said, you know Allah, yet you do not obey Him. You recite the Quran, yet you do not act according to it. You know Shaitan, yet you continue agreeing with him. You claim to love Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet you abandon his sunnah. You claim to love paradise, yet you do not work for it. You claim to fear the fire, yet you do not stop sinning. You say the death is true, yet you have not prepared for it. You busy yourself with the faults of others, yet you do not look at your own faults. You think that the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue forever, yet you are not grateful to him. And you bury your dead, but you do not heed its lesson. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by a grave and he said, verily the sahib of this grave, the companion of this grave would give the dunya and everything that is in it if he were allowed to pray just two rak'ahs. If he were allowed to pray just for two rak'ahs, he would give this dunya and everything in it. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his horse and he was riding past some graves and the horse jumped up, nearly throwing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried and he said, Ya ashabi, ya ikhwani, O my companions, O my brothers, limithli dhalika fasta'iddu, for the example of this, prepare yourselves. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Bukhari, he came out of his house and his eyes were red, crying all night. His eyes were red, crying all night. And he said, verily, if I was not afraid that you would not bury your dead, I would have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to hear from what I hear from the punishment of the grave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by Allah, if you knew what I knew, if you knew what I knew, you would not find pleasure in sleeping with your wives. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, the time is now to prepare for the hereafter. The time is now to prepare for the hereafter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once sitting with his companions. And when he was sitting with his companions, a group of people came with a coffin that they were taking, a dead body that were taking to his burial. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a phrase, by Allah, that will shock every one of us. Do you know what he said? He said, "Imma mustarihin a mustarahun minhu." Verily, he is either going to be someone who is going to go and rest now. Verily, this coffin, this dead body, carries someone who is either going to go and rest now, because this dunya has been difficult for him, because he's been struggling for the hereafter in this dunya, because he was a ghareeb in this dunya. Ghareeb, he was a stranger in this dunya, only passing through. And now he is going to go and rest in his grave. Or we are going to rest from him. Because he spent his life wasting it. He spent this life only earning everything for this dunya, not for the akhirah. He spent this dunya and his life thinking that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves him. And then subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mocking him. Now he is going to go to his real test. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, if you believe in the hereafter, the question is not when you will die. If you believe in the hereafter, the question is not when the day of judgment will be. The question is, what have you done for it? An Arab came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, mata sa'a? Ya Rasulullah, when is the last hour? In this authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Wa madha a'adatta laha? He replied back with a question, and what have you done to prepare for it? There is no doubt about our dying. There is no doubt about the last hour. What there is a doubt about is our preparation for it. My brothers and sisters in Islam, ask yourself this simple question. What have we done to prepare for the hereafter? What have we done to prepare for the hereafter? And don't you think, by Allah, you've done a lot. Don't you think you've done too much. Don't you think, by Allah, I'm doing this good deed, Allah's going to accept it. By Allah, there is not a single sahaba. There is not a single sahaba, no companion of the Prophet ﷺ, whether they were promised Jannah or not promised Jannah, except by Allah, they were afraid that they would die upon disbelief. There was not a single sahaba. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to go to Hudhaifa and used to catch Hudhaifa's collar and said, Ya Hudhaifa, as'aluka billah, I ask you by Allah's name. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention my name from the munafiqeen? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that I was one of the munafiqeen? My brothers and sisters in Islam, by Allah, if we do not work for this dunya, in this dunya, for the hereafter, by Allah, there is nothing for us in the hereafter. If we don't work now, there is nothing for us in the hereafter. So my advice to all of us is a five-step approach to rectifying our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we don't lose this dunya or the hereafter. I want to end my talk by advising all my brothers and sisters with five things I want you to do in order for you to build your akhirah by Allah and not to be of those people who have been destroyed in the hereafter. The first thing, my brothers and sisters in Islam, is sincerity and ikhlas and building your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there is no khair in anything we do unless we have sincerity in Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no good by Allah in this dunya unless we have ikhlas in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No good at all. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth from one word, al-ikhlas. He sent the prophets of God for one word, al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas is the most important reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Except to worship me. My brothers and sisters in Islam, ikhlas is so beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal that the surah of ikhlas, the one who recites surah ikhlas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. In the authentic narration, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about a sahabi by the name of Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi rahimahullah. Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi rahimahullah was a sahaba who was always known to love to say the surah of ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ In 6 seconds, by Allah, I can say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ In just 18 seconds, I could get the reward of reciting the whole Quran. In just 60 seconds, by saying Surah Ikhlas 10 times, I could build for myself a palace in Jannah. As the Prophet ﷺ said, anyone who says Surah Ikhlas 10 times, Allah builds a palace for him in Jannah. Surah Ikhlas, this sahabi, Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi, used to recite Surah Ikhlas so many times that the sahaba said, we never saw Muawiyah except that he was always reciting with his tongue, or he was sitting and reciting, or wherever he was praying, he would say Surah Ikhlas all the time. It was reported that when Muawiyah passed away, 70,000 angels came down to say Salatul Janazah. 70,000 angels came down to pray the Salatul Janazah on Muawiyah ibn Muawiyah al-Laythi. My brothers and sisters in Islam, how many people will pray your Janazah? How many people will pray your Janazah? How many people will come to your Janazah? Ask yourself this question, my friends. By Allah, sometimes I find people who have passed away in my hospital, not a single person to pray Janazah on them if there was a Muslim. One person perhaps. I remember a patient of mine passed away, a Muslim man. And the only person who ever prayed janazah on him was me. That's it. I was the only one. No one knew he was Muslim except me. People thought he was a non-Muslim. He had just accepted Islam. And by Allah, I was the only person who was there to pray salatul janazah on him. My brothers and sisters in Islam, how many people will pray your janazah? Make your life and your deen and your living and your dying sincerely for Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down 70,000 angels, sends down Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil and all the angels to pray your Salatul Janazah upon you. My brothers and sisters in Islam, sincerity is an important aspect of our life. Take the example of the Sahaba. Take the example of the Salaf al-Salih who used to be extremely sincere to Allah. It was reported that Khalid ibn Mi'dan, rahimahullah, a great scholar of Islam, whenever he used to come in front of his classes, whenever the number of students in his class would increase, he would stop his classes. When they asked him, why, Ya Khalid, are you stopping your class? He used to say, I prepared my ikhlas only for a handful of students. Now that the students have increased in number, my ikhlas is not strong enough. So he would stop his class, go back home, prepare himself with ikhlas only to come back later. It was reported that a Salaf al-Salih by the name of Dawud ibn Abi Hind, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, fasted for 40 years whilst his family never knew about it. For 40 years he fasted whilst his family would not know about it. Dawud ibn Abi Hind was a merchant of Islam. He used to trade things. In the morning he would wake up, his family would give him lunch. He would take the lunch with him only to give the lunch away to a beggar. And his family only found out after he passed away that for the last 40 years, Dawood has been fasting. Because the man who used to take his lunch from him after Dawood came back to the people and said, "Where is Dawood? He passed away, don't you know?" "No, I didn't know. For the last 40 years, he has been feeding me his lunch." Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is ikhlas. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ikhlas is that you love to do, is that you love to hide your good deeds, just like you love that you should not ever commit shirk with Allah. Just like you hate to commit shirk with Allah azza wa jal, in the same way, ikhlas is to love to hide your good deeds. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said in his fatawa, he said the sign of ikhlas is that a man has a wird between him and Allah alone every single day. What is a wird? A wird is a special deed that a person does that is secret between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Every single day, my brothers and sisters, do you have one single deed that you have that is secret between you and Allah alone? If not, start it today. It might be just a 2-rakah prayer. It might be on the way to your house, you feed someone on the road. It might be secretly you put a bit of money into someone's pocket. It might be by Allah sponsoring someone in the deepest parts, in another part of the world. No one knows about it by Allah except you and Allah Azza wa Jal alone. By Allah, no one amongst us should be here except that we should have a secret deed between us and Allah alone. My brothers and sisters, you are all here and I am here. You are watching me giving you this lecture by Allah, and you are here and your friends can see that you are here. How can we think we have ikhlas right now? How can we think Allah is going to reward us for this deed? By Allah, if we think Allah is going to reward us for this deed, we have lost all good. We have lost all good because we think our deeds are good enough. It was reported that the pious predecessors and the scholars of the Ummah used to say, by Allah, every single action that I have done, amam an-nas, As-Sufyan al-Thawri rahimullah used to say, كُلُّ عَمَلٍ عَمِلْتُهُ أَمَامَ النَّاسِ فَلَا أَحْسِبُهَا شَيْئًا. Every single deed that I have done in front of anyone, I don't consider it to be anything. Anything I've done in front of others. Why, Ya Sufyan? Why, Ya Sufyan, all the thousands of lectures you've given, don't you think Allah will accept it? Because it is so difficult to have ikhlas in the heart. It is so difficult to have ikhlas in the heart. When I walk out, you grab my hands. When you introduce me, you say, Sheikh so-and-so. By Allah, all we need is an atom's weight of pride to enter Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even an atom's weight of pride can prevent you from Jannah by Allah. An atom's weight of pride. My brothers and sisters in Islam, after you have strengthened your ikhlas with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strengthen your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strengthen those deeds. Do those deeds, but do them regularly and strengthen your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it that when you do a deed that you are constant in it. My friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us to do a massive deed every day, but He loves it that when we do a deed, we are constant in it. Ask your wives, go and ask your wives, and sister, ask your husbands, what is that thing that they love? What is the deed that they love? Would your wives rather you take them to holiday, to a big holiday, to Hajj and Umrah, in a massive way, in a massive holiday, once in their life? Or would they rather have you doing a small deed every single day? Something small, but every single day, regularly. Just like buying your wife a rose every day, or cleaning the dishes for her every day, or helping the children study every day, or putting the kids to bed every day, or making a cup of tea for your wife or your husband every day. What is it that they would love more? I'm sure you would agree that they would rather have you doing something little but every single day. And such is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have to do a massive deed. You can just do a single deed but do it regularly. It is for this reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Bilal and said, Ya Bilal, I heard your footsteps before me in Jannah, Ya Bilal. What is it that has caused you to enter Jannah before me, Ya Bilal? So Bilal thought and he said, Ya Rasulullah, nothing except that when I do my wudu, I follow it with 2-rak'ah prayer. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, simple deeds that are done constantly are beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. And by Allah, Allah may forgive you for all of this. Remember, my friends, we believe in a God who forgives and forgets. We believe in a God who loves to forgive and forget, and who will judge us by our khawateem. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innamal a'malu bil khawateem." Verily, actions are by our endings. So it doesn't matter what you have done in the past. What matters is what you do right now. What matters is what you do today and what you will do tomorrow. After you have ikhlas and you built a relationship with Allah, the second thing you should do is seek knowledge. Do not let this conference be the only time that you seek knowledge. Seek a path to gaining knowledge. The only sign that Allah loves somebody is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him knowledge. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says in his fatawa, the only surest sign that Allah loves somebody is Allah gives him fiqh of this religion. And he quotes the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Bukhari and Muslim, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fid din." Whoever Allah wants good for, Allah gives him fiqh of the religion. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah continues and he said, so whoever Allah does not want good for, Allah does not give him fiqh of the religion. Whoever Allah does not want good for, Allah does not give him fiqh of the religion. And this is the point, my friends. How many of us have increased in knowledge today? By Allah, this is a sign Allah loves us. But if we do not increase in knowledge tomorrow, it will be a sign Allah does not love us tomorrow. Every single day that you do not gain knowledge of Islam, every single day you don't increase in your knowledge of Islam, is a day where Allah does not want good for you. So make a step. Put a strategy in place. Put a pattern in place. Attend a class. Listen to a lecture. Download a YouTube video. Do something or the other in order to gain knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you of those people that He increases their knowledge. وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. This is the second advice I have for you, which is to increase in knowledge. Number three, the third advice I have for you to build your akhirah is to act upon this knowledge. Act upon the knowledge that Allah has given you. By Allah, knowledge will only increase you in ignorance unless you act upon it. Fudail ibn Iyad radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, "La yazalu al-alimu jahlan bi'ilmihi hatta ya'mal bi'amali bi'ilmihi." He used to say, wallahi, a scholar never ceases to be ignorant with his knowledge until he acts upon it. Indeed, the Arabs wanted to show the close relationship of knowledge and action, so they used the same three-letter words. Knowledge, ilm, ayn, lam, meem, and action, amal, ayn, meem, lam. The same three-letter words to show you how closely knowledge is associated with action. My brothers and sisters in Islam, verily a person who acts upon his knowledge, that is the true alim. The one who acts upon his knowledge is the true alim. The one who does not act upon his knowledge, by Allah, then that person is a true ignorant person. My friends, a person who only has knowledge but no action is like the donkey who carries books. It only benefits him only in carrying the books on his back, but by Allah, nothing else. My friends, a person who has knowledge but no action is like the example of Banu Israel, who had knowledge but did not act upon it. Indeed, in the Quran, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to Sirat al-Mustaqim. Do you know what we say? Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us, O Allah, to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, to the straight path. Sirat al-Ladhina namta alayhim. The path of those you have blessed. Ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim walad-dallin. Not the path of those that you are angry with, nor the ones who have become astray. Who are the dallin? Who are the Maghdubi alayhim? Do you know? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in the tafsir of this verse, he says, Maghdubi alayhim are the Bani Israel, are the children of Israel who had knowledge but did not act upon it. And the Dallin are the Nasara, are those people who say Jesus Christ is God, because they spoke without knowledge, they acted without knowledge. So we are a people who act, but only after we gain knowledge. We are a people of knowledge and action, my brothers and sisters in Islam. We are a people who gain knowledge before we act, and after we gain that knowledge, we act upon it. By Allah, this is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is the straight path, by Allah. If you do not follow this, we will be from those misguided. Do you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says 300 times in the Quran, Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Those who believe, meaning have knowledge, وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and do righteous deeds. 300 times. Do you not think that this is important thereafter? Don't you think, therefore, my brothers and sisters, that acting upon the knowledge is so important? This is my third advice to you. After you associate with Allah, you have your strong relationship with Allah and your sincerity, and you gain knowledge, you act upon it. And number fourth advice, my fourth advice to you all is to call people to it, is to call people to the knowledge that you have gained, is to call people to this religion. Indeed, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, one of the strategies of gaining knowledge is to teach knowledge. One of the means of gaining knowledge is to teach that knowledge. Whenever you sit in a class, whenever you gain knowledge and you want to gain knowledge, don't just gain knowledge to remove your own ignorance. Gain knowledge to remove someone else's ignorance as well. Spend your time calling someone to this religion. Spend your time telling people about the knowledge that you have. بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Spread from me even one verse. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better than the one who believes, does righteous deeds, calls to the path of Allah, and says, indeed, I am from the believers. My brothers and sisters in Islam, my fourth advice to you is to call to Islam, is to call to the knowledge that you have so that this stays in your heart. This is why the scholars of the past used to say, كنا نستعين على حفظ العلم بالعمل والدعوة إليه. Verily, we used to seek the help of da'wah and acting upon knowledge in order to preserve knowledge in our hearts. If you don't act upon knowledge, it will never ever stay in your hearts. If you don't call to the knowledge, it will never ever stay in your hearts. So call to this knowledge. And my last advice, my brothers and sisters, is to remain firm upon this, despite whatever befalls you. Whatever befalls you in this dunya, whatever difficulty comes to you on this dunya, be sincere to Allah, gain knowledge, act upon it, call to it, stay upon this path, never let go until death comes to you. Never let go until death comes to you. By Allah, never let go until death comes to you. And even if death comes to you in this way, by Allah, you will have a beautiful death upon Islam. Be patient. Do you know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Why do we say, right after we say, oh Allah, only you we worship, right after that we say, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, only you we seek help. Do you know why Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned in this tafsir, the reason why we say we seek His help right after we say we worship you only, is that the one who worships only Allah will be fought in this dunya. The one who worships only Allah will have difficulties in this dunya. People will be against him. Shaitan will be against him. His enemies will be against him. The dunya will be against him. So, oh Allah, we worship only you. Oh Allah, we worship only you. And we seek only your help to protect and help us in this path. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Wal asri innal insana lafi khusrin illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.